Hello, and welcome to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
I'm Gordy. I'm a filmmaker. I'm a writer. I started reading mythology and folklore when I was probably 5 or 6 years old. So this has been a very long-running interest for me.
I'm Tyler. I'm an animator, and I like really weird shit.
I'm Carmen. I'm a writer and an artist, and I read fairy tales all the time now. And they don't make any more sense than they used to.
Just what your life is.
That's all fairy tales and feeding a cat.
This is not going to help.
No.
Okay, so what we want to do with this show is to kind of unpack some of the weirder fairy tales that are floating around. I think people are generally familiar with the Disney versions, and maybe even the original, like the Grimm's fairy tales versions of these stories, which are a bit more bloody. We're not so much interested, just a little bit. There's cutting off of heels. Yeah. Cinderella was weird. But we're not so much interested in those as we are in just kind of like the weird ones that don't seem to have a plot or a purpose or a moral, and we can't figure out why people wrote these down and kept telling them to each other, and we don't understand how they work. And so we're trying to come up with some kind of an explanation to justify
the
preservation of these stories. And maybe bring a little bit of order to their chaos along the way.
Several years ago, I found at two separate yard sales different fairy tale books. So I have a copy of Hans Christian Andersen, Grimm and Aesop collection. We're going to skip Aesop because all of those are real short.
They also, they're pretty self-explanatory. Yeah. Like,
Aesop
like
knew
gets to the point.
Like, the ant fought the lion, therefore don't do drugs.
You or get
like,
it.
Whatever the end of the story is.
Yeah.
They just tell you.
Aesop had it together.
Yeah, some of these other people not, like, I don't know what the Irish were thinking during several centuries, maybe a lot of their existence, but,
I also have a copy of the Blue Fairy Book, which was the first collection of fairies in the color-coded fairy book series. I haven't been able to find green or red, or I think there's a yellow out there somewhere, but I've got blue, and it's got an interesting collection from around the world, so Grimm and Andersen wrote their own fairy tales, or collected them and translated them themselves. This one it's got some of the Grimm and Andersen, but it also has stuff from France and all over, so it doesn't do a great job of citing them, so we'll be looking up some information beforehand as much as possible.
Today we're going to start off with The Wonderful Sheep, a French tale that was originally titled The Ram.
But in French.
In French.
Le French word for ram.
and was penned by Madame d'Aulnois, I believe. She was a baroness, so she knows her shit.
Yeah, she had lots of time on her hands.
It's part of the entrance exam to be a baroness,
to
think.
To baronessy?
You have to write fairy tales.
They don't just let people be a baroness.
You got to tell me a crazy story about animals first.
Yeah. What do you know about people turning into birds? here's your estate and some servants.
you just sit there and write. All right, so this was originally written in 1892. I chose this one for today because, you know, fairy tales are known for being romantic. Like, they lived happily ever after is one of the best endings for fairy tales. And
it's my favorite.
Yeah. So for Valentine's Day, I thought I'd choose a fairy tale that absolutely does not end that way.
Perfect.
This will be released, I mean, we're recording before Valentine's Day, but the goal is to release it on Valentine's Day. So if you are searching for some kind of audio journey to help things along on a difficult night, you can probably skip this, honestly. I don't know what you're into, though.
Yeah.
So,
to each their own.
This story might get you laid. You don't know.
I'm curious to see how. Let's take a look at the actual story.
Alright, so once upon a time, there was a king who had three daughters. Mom is never mentioned because all fairy tales assume mothers are dead.
You don't need a mom to get three daughters.
No.
You just get them.
They're given to you as being, like, just like the Baroness got her land for writing this tale.
Just give those away at, like, the fairy tale supply or wherever those people, I don't know.
Yeah, daughters are us, the Emporium. So the youngest daughter was named Miranda. She was the prettiest and most beloved, and therefore the only one worthy of a name in this whole story. The king, her father, they do specify that, just in case you've forgotten the first two sentences, gave her more dresses and jewels in a month than he gave the others in a year, but she was so generous she shared everything with her sisters, and they were all happy and as fond of one another as they could be. So the king's basically, like, setting up the start to another fairy tale where the sisters are jealous and, like, try to kill the youngest one.
It's like the reverse Cinderella.
Kind of.
He didn't want to put,
like, one's super loaded and the others are not.
Yeah, but luckily this one's pretty cool, and she shares it, and I guess they're all the same size, because Daughters R Us just operates.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Seems like a good scheme, that, like, if you live in this land, and you can... I think that's just called slavery, though. Selling people?
Which is okay. Totally cool.
I'm working under the assumption that slavery is active and legal.
It was 1892, so yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
Here and there.
It's actually mentioned in here, so
in
we're
France,
cool.
They were cutting off a lot of heads. Yeah. No, they weren't. Just kidding. That was after the guillotine.
Some people might have been hobbies, you know.
It never goes completely out of fashion.
Right. Well, the king had quarrelsome neighbors, and they began to make war upon them. So if you think you're an astute with your neighbor over your fence is bad, at least they're not starting wars.
I was going to say he could just move, but then I realized you were probably talking about another country.
Yeah. And the whole country was quarrelsome.
This is not...
It wasn't like, just like...
The people in the castles.
Yeah, the Joneses
right
next door.
Yeah. It was just, your goats are chewing on our grass. We're going to call the homeowners association. So he goes off to war and all the daughters miss him. And then he comes back and he can't wait to see Miranda. And that's the only one he gives a shit about. So he comes back, and on the day he returns, all three girls wear dresses and jewels following three different color schemes. The oldest wears blue, I think, green. The oldest wears green, the middle one wears blue, and the youngest wears white to greet their father. Their father has an unusual trait of always thinking there's some special meaning in everything. And so while they're eating dinner, he asks why they chose their dresses to wear for him. And the oldest two quickly pull out some bullshit. It reminded me a lot of my senior thesis artist statement. Like, we're going to throw some meaning into this real fast.
Yeah. Make it look pretty.
Yeah. Like, the oldest is like, oh, it represents my hope and joy. And so they're both...
Clearly.
Yeah, they're both like, oh, we wore this for you, Daddy, because we're hopeful in symbolism. And the youngest is at least honest, and she says, well, that's because I look best in white. And so the king is really mad at her vanity, and she's like, I thought you would be pleased with me. And then he's okay. That's fine.
You know.
That's enough.
Yeah, that's all she needs to say.
Crisis averted.
Wait, which one is his favorite?
The youngest. Miranda. The one who
he's got
away.
Miranda.
He just back-assed him.
And then he's got not Miranda 1 and not Miranda 2.
Yeah.
Miranda, green, and blue.
It's kind of a trend in fairy tales that one, maybe two characters get a name.
Yeah.
Alright, so after they finish eating, the king asks out of nowhere, so what'd you guys dream last night? He's still seeking special meaning in all things, because he's one of those. So the first said that she dreamed that he brought her dresses and jewels.
Because you never have before.
Hint, hint, Dad.
And the second one dreams that he brought her a spinning wheel to make shirts for him. So she's obviously suffering from the whole middle child syndrome. And the youngest dreamt that she was at the wedding of the second daughter, and he held for her a golden ewer and said, come, Miranda, I will hold the water that you may dip your hands in it. Out of nowhere, the king is pissed at this. He is so mad. They go off to bed, but he's still fuming in his chambers about this dream she had.
He sounds like the Freud of the Middle Ages. Like, I know that Ewer means something, and I know you did it on purpose.
King Freud, as he was called.
King Freud. So he's fuming in his bedroom. He's like, does the proud girl wish to make me her slave? And
he said to no one?
Yeah.
That's what that means.
Yeah, the oldest one is dreaming he brings her stuff, but the youngest one dreams he holds some water for her to wash her hands. And, we can't have that.
And she's the one
favorite.
Who's,
yeah,
who was giving him lip about the colors, too.
Yeah, so...
She's on thin ice already.
So however many years of favoritism just vanishes in that moment.
Undone with one dream.
One fell swoop
about yours.
So he calls the captain to his chambers and orders the captain to grab the princess and murder her in the forest. Much like Snow White.
Yeah, that's a common theme I've realized about fairy tales. So if you want to murder someone, you better do it in a forest.
Yeah, you hire someone else to take her off to the forest and kill him.
You're going to do it, that seems like as logical a plan as any.
It keeps the mess outside.
I wonder if there's just like a designated area of a forest
where
there's just
a
pile of
all
princess corpses.
Like,
they're totally dragged off by wolves, though. There's no way that's going to stay there.
Yeah.
I guess building a corpse sanctuary is probably... not on message. I don't know.
So he obviously had taken some advice from the wicked queen in the Snow White story, because not only does he want her heart as proof of her death, he wants the captain to bring back her tongue. So the captain's to go off and
he'd
kill her.
He'd know that tongue anywhere.
Yeah, like, the heart could be anybody's.
Speaking of Freud. Like,
that pig's heart totally tricked that other lady, so
right.
We're gonna... ain't no pig tongue getting past me. So...
couldn't get a DNA match otherwise.
So the captain goes and grabs the princess, and then her young servant / slave girl, who is black because 1892.
That's how it works.
Her pet monkey and her dog go with her.
Why not?
It's like Homeward Bound.
They do actually get names. I did not write them down.
The dog and the monkey?
The dog, the monkey, and the girl all get names. It's like pet up.
But not the other daughters.
Yeah, the other daughters do not. But they're weird names, and I did not write them down. So, the captain takes her to the woods, but then he's all sad, much like the huntsman was. And he tells her what he's supposed to do, and she's obviously horrified. Like, I didn't mean anything, but it was just a dream, Dad! It's a little overkill. So, her slave servant girl, the monkey, and the dog all... one by one offer to kill themselves for her, but she cries over them, like, no, I love you too much to let you do that. And they're like, nope, we're doing it anyway. So before she can do anything to stop
them... the monkey and the dog?
And the girl.
And the girl.
All three of them kill themselves in front of her.
Just in case.
Yeah. And then it's like...
You're telling me Disney didn't want to do this story?
No, I don't know why. But it was all in vain, because their tongues and hearts would not fool the king in an instant. Like, two of those I can understand. Like, a monkey tongue and a dog tongue might raise some questions.
I might be able to eyeball the... I think you could look at a heart and be like, I don't... what do they know? They don't have x-rays? How do they know what hearts look like?
I don't... well, they obviously cut them out of princesses
I guess
so.
If you have enough... yeah, there's a precedent for this, so maybe they have examples for comparison.
They know what princess hearts look
like. That's what a princess heart looks like. This is a pig, this is a dog.
This is a servant girl.
This is
casual racism in 1892.
Be a weird propaganda poster.
So the captain just vanishes, like he's never mentioned again after these two kill themselves. So my guess is he watches this happen and he's just horrified and he runs off. And... apparently, the tongues and hearts don't work, but apparently that's not an issue anymore. Like, that's never mentioned again as a problem.
He went to go work at the Joneses' castle instead.
Yeah.
So it says they don't work.
They don't work.
So somehow the king saw them.
I don't think that he did. The way it was phrased was it wouldn't have fooled him for an instant, so they don't even bother taking him out.
They just assume that he's got this on lock.
Okay.
He made her... from the order catalog at Princesses at RRS, so he knows.
Like, picked all the parts.
Every part. So, he's got a serial number on her heart and her tongue. So
it's a weird Build-A-Bear.
So she buries them alone and then walks briskly through the forest. She's not even running at this point. She's like, I'm afraid for my life. And then, like, power walks away from the scene.
With purpose. You want to show confidence.
Right. You don't want to...
After you've buried one corpse and two animals.
They're still corpses. They're just animal corpses.
Sure.
So she, while she's power walking through the woods, suddenly comes across a sheep who has gold horns and he's decked to the nines and pearls and diamonds and all this fancy stuff. And he's hanging out under this canopy. And then there are 100 other sheep in the clearing with him, so it must have been really big or really crowded. And they're drinking lemonade and coffee and eating ice cream and sweets and all this other, like,
sheep. These are cool sheep.
Yeah.
I like these sheep.
So she's, like, trying to wrap her head around this. And
does it actually say that?
That she's trying to wrap her head
no,
in?
No, that they're eating...
They're eating ices and sweetmeats, which are candy type things.
Definitely people food.
And lemonade and coffee are mentioned specifically.
Hanging out together, drinking coffee, and eating prosciutto.
Like sheep do.
Like sheep do.
So the gold horn sheep sees her and calls her over, and she is all surprised that he's talking. But she's not surprised that he's apparently psychic, because the next thing he says is, your dog and monkey could talk. And you weren't weirded out by that. And so she just casually shrugs that off with, well, a fairy did it. So I got used to it. It was normal when they talked.
Thanks, fourth wall.
Yeah, it was that the storyteller had a moment of self-awareness that the internal logic in this had broken down, and so just
trying need to backpedal a bit.
Hold on here. We're going to fill this plot hole real fast and move on. So the Goldhorn Sheep is the king of these sheep, and he takes her to this magic, wondrous sheep land where there's, like, fancy food and party stuff and all of these sheep, and he tells her, you know, I was once an actual king, not just a sheep king. And all of these sheep were princes. And there was this ugly fairy who wanted to marry all of us. And one by one, she would trap us in a well or something and then come and say, hey, you should marry me. And they'd all say no. And so she would turn...
Well,
sounds familiar.
Got another sheep.
but the thing is... Like, he was sentenced to be a sheep for 5 years. Some of them were sentenced to be sheep for 10 years. Like, she's completely arbitrary on the sheep thing. And so it talks about how sometimes a sheep just turns back into a prince and then wanders back home after...
He served his time.
Yeah.
Like, you have to explain that to your people, though. Like, you get back and they're like, hey, prince, where have you been? The kingdom... Like, your dad died, and there was nobody to succeed him, and so, like, I don't know.
We're also a republic now.
Like, civil wars, and we have, like, a new government. Like, you weren't here to do anything. What happened? And he has to go, like, oh, I was
sheep stuff, man.
I was eating sweetmeats the whole time in sheep form.
Pretty cool.
But don't worry, a fairy is totally to blame.
Yeah,
I wasn't just slacking off.
She didn't want to see my face for a while, and so I guess she decided how long that was. So she just parties in Sheepland for a while with the Sheep King. Like, they have...
Got no other prospects.
Right, they throw... parties for her, big balls, they put on plays. It's just
sheep plays.
Yeah, it's a just great time in Sheepland. And then somehow she finds out that her first sister is getting married, and she's all upset because everyone's going to be there to celebrate for the first sister, and she won't be able to give her love or anything because she's a kind-hearted person. And so the sheep says, okay, I can let you go see her, but you have to promise to come back because I'm in love with you. And she's like, yeah, that's cool.
Alright, sheep man.
So, yeah. So she pinky promises, and she goes off to see the wedding, and...
Hold on. How do you pinky promise with cloven hooves?
She doesn't in the original fairy tale, but the essence is there.
I gotcha.
The essence of a pinky promise.
So you're editorializing is what you're saying.
A little bit. Like, the events... The basic events are all true. I am modernizing...
You're just trying to explain the severity of this promise.
Right, like, okay. It's a very important promise.
So she,
you don't break
so,
a pinky
she
promise
said, like,
to a
no,
sheep.
I'm totally coming back, 100%.
Yes.
I'll be there. Okay.
So she goes to her sister's wedding. She's in like a super fancy carriage and like this ridiculous expensive dress, and she's looking all gorgeous and obviously attracting a lot of attention.
Where'd she get it?
Sheepland.
Sheepland.
Sheepland has many goods and services. And so the king sees her, and he's like, oh, how mysterious. And it never crosses his mind that it's Miranda, because in spite of not getting the serial-coded tongue and heart, he's just 100% convinced that the girl's dead.
And nobody ever came back. So he's just like, I'm sure it was fine.
I'm down a captain and a daughter. We're probably both dead.
And a serving girl, and a monkey, and a dog.
It all sorted itself out.
Taken care of.
Done. All right. So she goes, she sees the wedding, she leaves a nice present, and she heads out before the festivities are over. So the king's all put out because mysterious girl with lots of riches has just vanished. And so he tells his guard, if she ever comes back here, lock all the doors. Because that's
trap her in here.
Because that's how you treat your mysterious guests.
Definitely.
So she goes back to Sheepland, and the sheep has been so anxious and worried about her being gone. Because I guess being a sheep for whatever term of the 5 years he's served so far just makes you real needy. He has hundreds of presents for her.
Kept himself busy.
Yeah. They're all laid out in front of him. And so he tells her how worried he was that she was gone for so long. And he didn't know if he could live without her. And so she falls in love with him because why not?
I mean, he seems nice.
Yeah. He got me pretty things.
He bought me pretty things. Serve me prosciutto.
It's the basis of love.
He's a sheep.
Valentine's Day.
That's the real message.
Yeah, buy tons of shit. And it doesn't matter if you're a sheep. Someone will love you.
And in fact, you should be a sheep. Although we shouldn't be encouraging unrealistic standards of beauty on this show. It's okay if you're not a sheep.
Just love yourself for whatever species you are. So she finds out her second sister's now getting married. She's like, oh, I gotta see that wedding too. And the sheep is even more worried because he's super insecure or something. And
like we discovered earlier, potentially psychic.
Potentially psychic, that's true. He did know about the dog and the monkey. But he lets her go, makes her promise to come back early. So she goes, the king sees her in the crowd.
And he flicks the switch.
Signals to the guards, all doors are locked, so she tries to get out, and everything, she can't. And so she's starting to panic, but then the king comes up to her and is like, hey, shh, it's totally okay. I just wanted to, like, meet you. You seem pretty cool. You want to come eat dinner with us? And she's like, oh, okay. That sounds fine. And then he pulls out a golden ewer, and he holds it to her, and he's like, here, wash your hands in this. And then she's like, oh, it's my dream! It's my dream! It's really happening! And then he's like, oh, no! You're my daughter! I thought you were dead! I totally regretted killing you! But I was afraid that your dream meant I'd lose my crown.
Obviously.
And so I am! Here's the kingdom! So he gives her his crown and the kingdom right there, totally upstaging this wedding that they're celebrating.
Yeah, way to go, Daddy.
That wedding over there. Like, shut it down. Cancel it. That's just, new stuff is happening over here.
That's daughter dose.
Middle child, whatever. Oldest one's married. I don't care anymore.
His explanation of it is basically, both your sisters are married, so here, have a kingdom.
That's a hell of a dowry.
That's a good consolation prize for being the last one married. She's got sheep, man. She has prospects.
Right, yeah. So they sit down to dinner, and she explains, you know, where she's been for the past however many years. Talks about the sheep and stuff. Meanwhile, Sheep Man is real worried that she's not come back yet, and so he leaves Magic Sheepland to go find her.
With an army of sheep?
Yeah, does he bring a sheep posse?
He's just on his own, so he's not really a good strategist. I don't think he would have kept his kingdom for long, even if he hadn't slighted a fairy. His quarrelsome neighbors would totally have overrun that.
Evidently.
So he goes to the palace, and he's trying to get in and explain what's going on. The guards are like, no, you're a sheep. I don't care if you talk. And so he drops dead of a broken heart. Right there. They're like, what?
So it's been like, what, a day?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like, a couple
it's
days.
It's been an hour and a half.
And they're like, really just a couple hours.
And they say, like, no, dude, you're a sheep. You, like, you can't come in. And he just dies.
Yes. Just dead on the doorstep. right there after maybe 10 minutes of asking to get in.
Was it a long walk? Like, was he...
was his heart
already, overworked? Like, beating real hard?
Maybe. They never say how old he was when he was turned into a sheep, because... Mm. So, for all we know, he's a creepy...
He's just Wilford Brimley.
Is he aging
sheep.
In sheep time?
That's another good question. That might be. That might do it.
That would do it.
Which
I don't
think
know
is
how long sheep live, but 5 years might be...
Anywhere between...
1 and 5 years.
1 and 70 years, I want to say.
Somewhere in there. It's a good range.
Meanwhile, the princess is telling her story and eating her dinner and completely unaware that the sheep was even asking for her. So she goes out to greet her subjects and finds the sheep she loves dead on the doorstep.
They didn't even move them.
Yeah, they just leave them there. Good dinner later.
This kingdom sucks.
This father's
it's
a psychopath.
It's a waste of mutton.
Yeah.
I mean... Yeah, worst case scenario, you could just eat him.
And so instead of a happily ever after, the final line of this beautiful 17-page story is that, so even a princess is not always happy, especially if she forgets to keep her word. And the greatest misfortunes often happen to people just as they think they've obtained their heart's desire. Sleep well, children! Good night! That's our fairy tale for the night. That's how they end it.
Oh boy.
Yep.
Okay, so I want to start, I have the most questions about this alleged moral at the end. That, at least, there is one.
Yeah, like, she obviously had a purpose to telling this.
Yes, so her thesis statement for this fairy tale is, even if you're a princess, you don't always get what you want.
I guess so.
And
you
keep
are,
your word.
Yeah, you have to keep
you
your
should,
promises.
Sure, that makes sense. You should keep your word. Good advice.
Yeah, great.
I don't know how is this the way to illustrate it. That's my question. Like, why? Like, lying to sheepmen seems like a strange allegory or a literary device for illustrating this particular point.
And it takes such a convoluted path to get there. For a good story, a good thesis statement, most everything should point in that direction. And so I'm not sure how Dad ordering her to death for having this dream, and then the captain vanishing and, I guess, lying to him or something. How all of this supports the...
Captain didn't keep his word either.
Why do we need... Yeah, what happened to... He's probably dead. Or maybe he got turned into a sheep.
Princess only.
He caught at his own heart and tongue and just... left it on the king's doorstep.
I did it for you. So I kind of see, like, it's there, right?
The end,
kind
definitely.
Of, kind of. Like, she kind of lies. I mean, the sheep gives her a pretty small window to fulfill this promise. It seems like his actions are more born of his own neediness than on her negligence.
Right, because it's never stated that she didn't intend to go back or find him. She just kind of got...
She just wanted to hang out with her dad for a while.
Kind of got busy with that family that exiled her to death.
Who also locked the doors.
Yeah.
And kept her from leaving in the first place.
So it's not like she intended to keep her promise the whole time.
So, I mean, as far as we know...
Well, she tried to leave, but the doors were locked.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, she did. So she did... try to go back.
And I think it's totally okay to be distracted by suddenly being loved by your father again after he tried to have you killed for dreaming something. Because he interpreted the dream. That's the other... He interpreted the dream of him holding some water for her to wash her hands as him losing his crown. Basically, like, all the male figures of the story are making their own interpretations of actions, completely overreacting to that, and then ruining her life in the process.
I had this dream. Clearly it means I'm losing my kingdom.
You must die
and then,
now.
And then when those circumstances arise, he goes, oh, I guess I'll just give up my kingdom. No one's making me.
Right.
I'm just going to do it because there's a ewer and you're washing your hands in the water.
Is this the first Inception?
Maybe. did she... like, there there were dreams. Yeah, it started with a dream, with three dreams.
Yeah.
Even, and so, yeah, maybe in that dream, they incepted the idea that he was going to give up his kingdom.
Leo got the king to give up his crown.
And they're all in on it together.
Yeah.
And then the sheep would be still just sheep, I think. I don't know how they fit into fit into the dreamscape, but
maybe they're just a means to an end. Like maybe the princess planted this and then had to.
Maybe the deaths, the people who killed themselves, maybe they were just trying to get out of that level of the dream.
That was the kick.
Yeah, that was the kick.
That was the captain's
to
kick.
To get out, because it was all part of the incepting process.
Right.
And maybe so was the sheep.
The monkey, the dog, and the servant had done their part. And had to kick out to the next level.
And that's why we don't see them again, because they're just in an entirely new level of dream.
And the captain, I guess, did it in the middle of that without her watching.
Somewhere along the line.
Because he just completely vanishes.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, he just kicks out. My first question is, what is the symbolism of a ewer or a bowl or a basin?
And it's gold.
That, sure, I mean, gold is a link, gold. You were a gold crown, sure, but like why would he
interpret it that way?
Yes, like what grounds is there to interpret it like that? Because
I'm
sitting, that makes no damn sense.
When he was throwing his tantrum in his room, the thing he said was, "Does she intend to make me her slave?"
Because he was holding it.
Right, and said, "Here, I will hold this still while you wash your hands." Which I guess is a thing kings don't do.
Probably. I mean, that seems like an act of servitude. That is something that, I guess, a servant or a slave might do.
Yeah, I guess so.
So maybe he interpreted that to mean that she had made him a servant of some kind because he is forced to wash her hands.
He would only do it if it was for a pretty person that he kidnapped.
And then mistook for someone else. Okay, so that could be the symbolism of the ewer, is just servanthood.
Yeah, I think we're missing some cultural context in this age of running water.
Yeah,
take it for granted.
That is, yeah, you can't just, like, pop up to the washroom and be like, "No, Dad, I'm gonna wash my hands before I eat." Okay, so that starts to make sense. I still don't understand why he would just choose to give up his kingdom, though. I don't have an explanation for that.
Guilt, maybe?
Possibly. Like, I'm really sorry that I freaked out and tried to have you killed. Have my kingdom. Maybe he's tired of quarrelsome neighbors.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I was gonna say that. We don't know where this story... Like,
right.
what the climate is at the end.
He goes off to war, right?
At the beginning.
Yeah, they don't say how long that war took. Maybe it lasted a good long while, and then he finds the daughter. Two of them are now married, so they are somebody else's problem at
this
that
is
point.
His retirement but, package.
Yeah, like, they are someone else's property. When was this? Almost 1900?
Yeah.
In France?
Yep.
Maybe not. Probably not property then.
I don't know that it's set in the 1900s.
That's fair.
That is true. It does not say.
It's set in fairy time.
Yeah.
It's set.
Fairy o'clock. So the moment when he does it, his full speech is, "Oh, my dear daughter," he cried, kissing her, "can you ever forget my cruelty? I ordered you put to death because I thought your dream portended the loss of my crown. And so it did," he added. "For now your sisters are both married and have kingdoms of their own, and mine shall be for you." So saying, he put the crown on the prince's head and cried, "Long live Queen Miranda." And all the court cried, "Long live Queen Miranda," after him, and the young queen's two sisters came up, threw their arms around her neck, and kissed her 1,000 times.
Each?
Not like,
I guess.
Not even mad that the youngest sister just shot straight up to queenhood.
And upstaged one of their weddings.
Yeah.
Girlfriend of a sheep. Like, that's a pretty big jump up the social ladder.
Presumed dead girlfriend of a sheep.
Presumed dead girlfriend of a sheep.
Okay, so I see how he could have interpreted that dream to mean what it did.
It does say the captain of the guard was dead. I had missed that because of my own confusion of the here's my crown, I'll make the dream come true.
Okay, so
he
kicked out.
So he kicked out successfully.
Good to know.
But then they just sit down and eat, so...
Cool.
I can
understand where his interpretation of the dream comes from. If he is seeing himself performing some kind of like act of servitude, he might then assume that the only way he would be doing that is if he had lost his kingdom. Because clearly he's not going to do that while he's king.
Except when he does.
Accepting some kind of weird circumstances.
So the point of the story could very easily be more about the relationship between the king and the daughter. You know, don't jump to conclusions or losing things.
I think that's a way better moral than keep your word, like, for longer than 6 hours at a time, or however long she's gone. Or, like, at least call your sheep boyfriend periodically to let him know that you're going to be late.
Like, text him constantly. Like, if you're not in 100% constant contact with your significant other at all times, then probably this whole relationship's on the rocks, and one of you should just die.
I think a better moral is maybe
one of you should just die when you're insulted.
Yeah, like don't wait for an explanation or anything. Assume the worst. It's all going to be horrible. She doesn't love you anymore.
Face value is best.
Yeah. Like, she's...
Also, you're a sheep, so you can't come in.
Maybe a social commentary about racism or sheep privilege in their time. I think that's a better moral than what she was going after.
Right, and the story is called The Ram in French.
Yeah.
Yes.
And interpreted as The Wonderful Sheep. So that's supposed to be kind of the point of the story, but it's she just, like, hangs out in sheepland, and then the sheep's like, hey, I love you, here are some presents. And she's like, oh, I guess I love you too. And suddenly this is the whole part of the story.
Yeah, there is kind of a weird other plot that just takes over.
Was he wonderful because he was full of wonder, or because he wondered a lot?
He did wonder quite a bit.
Because he did a lot of wondering in this story.
The worryful sheep?
Yes, the worryful sheep would be more appropriate.
I think the real moral is cool it on the dreams a little bit. Maybe just calm down. No one's making you give your kingdom up.
Or how about, like, a moral that goes for both plot lines would be, don't jump to conclusions, you dip.
Yeah.
They both destroy a lot of things, just like, oh no, the worst.
Do they give, like, a psych profile on this king? Do we get anything like that?
They usually include those in fairy tales, right?
I think the psych profile on the king is, hey, murder my daughter, she had a dream I didn't like. Like, do you need more psych profile?
I mean, we already discussed that he was Freud.
Yeah.
That's all the psych profile you need.
So what did we learn over the course of this story? How does this make sense?
Well, I think one of the important lessons that we can take home from the story on this Valentine's Day, the Hallmark manufactured Day of Love, is that if you're 100% obsessed with your lover and you can't go 6 hours without seeing them, you will drop dead eventually. Like, calm it down. It'll be okay. They'll probably come back to you. They're allowed to hang out with their family. And if you're a sheep, Dad might not approve.
Even if that family did try to have you killed.
Right.
I'm definitely going to take all that to heart.
I think also, if you are the lesser loved daughter, one of the lesser loved daughters who didn't merit a name, get married real fast and just go find a new kingdom, because your dad is crazy.
Just get out of France.
Yeah, just
don't. It's not the place for you.
Don't be there. Be one of the quarrelsome neighbors. Like,
it'll work out better.
You know, those neighbors probably realized, oh, this king is nuts. This king is off his... He's finding symbolism in all the things and murdering people left and right. We better kill him fast.
Yeah, we gotta do those people a favor.
Right, but he's real efficient at murder, except when he outsources it to the captain of the guard. But he did get that guy killed, so I guess...
Kicked.
Kicked, sorry.
He got him kicked.
Alright, so...
That's a cutting place. What are we doing for the next episode? What do we have queued up?
Next week, join us for a telling of The Master Maid.
It's sure to be a good one.
It's gonna be...
With a title like that.
Yep.
The Master Maid.
I feel like the title tells you all you need to know.
I feel like I know nothing. hearing that title. So we'll see where it goes.
She's the master maid.
Yeah.
Presumably.
Presumably.
This was What the Folklore.
We'll see you next time.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have any feedback for us, you can leave it either by Gmail or Facebook. Our Gmail account is wtfolklore@gmail.com, and our Facebook page can be found at facebook.com/WT Folklore. Feel free to send in stories if you have any particularly odd pieces of folklore or mythology that you would like to hear us talk about. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales.